Hello and namaste. I'm Peter Furco, and this is Peter's podcast, where we talk about real yoga, actual happiness, and deep living. Thanks for joining me. On today's podcast, I get to talk with one of my favorite guests, Jenny Bloom, an Ishta yoga teacher and strategic brand consultant. Jenny and I tackle the challenge of dealing with the daily news and living in the yoga way. Then I take you to meditation class. I share my lecture about how to find happiness by understanding the power of intention, the power of vibration, and the power of love. Then, in case you'd like to join in the meditation, I include the practice itself. Enjoy. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Peter.
So good to talk with you again on the podcast.
It's great to be back.
This is like the inaugural season 2 episode of Jenny Bloom.
Ow! Yeah, it's a new season. Season 2 of Peter's podcast.
Yeah.
Real
it's been
manifestation.
Fun so far. Yeah. So we were hobnobbing about all kinds of things that are going on in the outside world. Yeah. Chats we've been having with people about politics and this and that.
Mm-hmm. How can we understand ourselves in this world? And how do we take action? How do we know what actions to take? How do we not get stuck in just feeling crappy about the things that are happening in the government, the things that we're seeing people doing?
Yeah.
Like, how do we not get... I've been having a lot of conversations about social media and how to not get stuck in this, like...
Yeah, this echoing thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I listened to a couple of podcasts where they're explicitly political, and they have people who are on Twitter all the time, you know, and Twitter, I think of all the social media, is the most prone to that sort of indignation and just like, you know, raging at other people and their positions being wrong and stuff like that. And
well, did you hear about those Twitter bots that I think Microsoft made? These Twitter bots that were just supposed to be in Twitter and like receive information and kind of develop their personalities as like Twitter personalities.
Oh, how interesting.
Based on what people said, and they became total racists.
Oh, that's so interesting.
And they just like were like calling for like the end of the world pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this morning in class, in meditation class, I talked a lot about this balanced heart center and the chance that that gives us to have a place of perspective on all this stuff. You know, that in essence, according to yoga philosophy, there's a oneness that we're all sharing in, and differences that we're all projecting are part of this grand play, this grand dance of life. Mm-hmm. So we, when we're in our balance place in the heart center, are able to participate in the differences, you know, to get triggered by stuff and all of that, but to also be able to know deeply, know in your heart, right, that that other person is also the same as you in this fundamental way, this essential way, this oneness way, so that when we look at someone who's doing something, they're just fulfilling their karma. They're just fulfilling their role in the whole picture, you know, and why they got that way is someplace I've been spending a lot of time. You know, when I look at a Donald Trump or I look at Paul Ryan or I look at someone I don't agree with, I have to go, you know, why are they like that? What is it that made that happen? And then it draws you back to all these circumstances, plus whatever, you know, karma, DNA they are born with. And altogether, they ended up making the decisions that they thought were best. You know, we look at them from, you know, just like someone looks at me and says, you're a snowflake, right? I mean, you're unrealistic and all these kinds of things. You know, they're not wrong. I mean, from their perspective, they're mm-hmm. completely right, mm-hmm. you know, and when I look at them. So that's mm-hmm. not the answer. The mm-hmm. answer can't be to spot the correct one of us.
Right.
We're both people, mm-hmm. right? We're mm-hmm. both just acting out our karma. Mm-hmm. But then we have to act.
Mm-hmm. And we need it. Like, when you think about, like, drama, right? Like, there's right. this drama going on. There is a need for, I mean, for somebody to be, like, the hero and for someone to be the villain. Because
yeah.
that's just how that dramatic yeah. function works.
How boring a play if everyone was the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. We would learn nothing.
Yeah.
And one of the interesting things Al always talks about is how we're part of evolution.
Right.
And sometimes I'll think, like, how is this evolution? Like, what is this thing that we're shifting into?
Yeah.
What are we becoming? What yeah. is this dramatic tension? Like, what is, who is the hero, right? There's so much of this, like, almost like villainy or like conflict.
Because it's not mm-hmm. about the roles and the mm-hmm. expressions. It's mm-hmm. about the underlying. Mm-hmm. So when you're evolving, it means that you have the experience with someone that's a challenge. And you resolve that experience, you resolve that challenge. And then the next thing that happens is you get a new challenge, mm-hmm. right? So then as you're dealing with that challenge, again, it seems like the thing is the problem, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So as long as you're focused on, it's the thing that's the problem. It's how she's treating me. It's mm-hmm. it's that I don't have enough of this, or mm-hmm. that if only the circumstances were different, then I'd be happy. Then you're stuck. You're not evolving. When you realize those are not the things, you've just evolved. And then you get a new challenge.
Right.
Right?
Because we get like so caught in
video games, you know? You keep going to different levels mm-hmm. in the video game.
Yeah. Right? Or yeah.
It's a new level of challenge.
Totally. But it's that going back and forth. And that's where we get stuck in our lives, is when we get too identified with the character who we're playing.
Yes.
We forget that we're the character. You know, yes. And when you read like a Shakespeare play or play a video game and yeah. you know, it's like long and there's this whole thing that happens and then there's a different thing that happens. We don't have that perspective on our own lives or on our own world.
Well, we can, but it's really hard to get.
Right, we can. And yes. that's what meditation
yes.
and these inner practices are about. Like yeah. learning how to take yourself out of that drama
right.
and find some perspective and
right.
get some space so that when you come back in, you understand, oh, this is the part where, you know, the hero goes out on the journey, and this is the part where he encounters this villain, and this is the part where the dragon comes, and this yeah. is the part where he slays the dragon.
Yeah.
And
it's
then,
all very, you know, archetypal.
Yeah.
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 So in the Gita, you know, there's this advice. Just do whatever's in front of you, you know, that's your work, do your work. Don't be attached to the outcome. Know that you're not really even doing the work. It's the evolution or the karma, to use the Sanskrit word, that's working through you. Your consciousness is riding along and to have the show, to watch the play. And yet to make it a good play, you know, you give up a certain amount of awareness of that fact. Otherwise who would stay, you know?
Right. But that's so perfect what you just said, because I think for so many people, for so many of us, it gets so uncomfortable at times. Like there are times where it's not what we want.
Right.
You know, the partner isn't there.
Right.
Or, you know, you don't have the thing, the career hasn't become what you always thought it would be. And you're in that place where you're like, why am I doing this stupid thing? Or why am I alone? Or whatever yeah. your individual conflict is. And it can feel like you're wrong.
Yeah.
And I used to get so stuck in that. And now I don't get as stuck in it, because part of what I've learned in my like 7 dedicated years of practice mm-hmm. is that the thing in front of me is the thing I need to do. And if I do the thing in front of me and I do my practice, something is happening that is much bigger than just the thing in front of me.
Yeah.
And I'm able to tap into that much larger movement by being very specific and focused on the thing that I'm doing.
Right.
And then when I do that, when I rise to that challenge, that's my personal challenge.
Yeah.
I'm actually tuned into everything.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's all I need to do.
Yeah. Yeah. each individual thing is important. You know, there's this whole set of books about not sweating certain stuff, you know, like, mm-hmm. you don't, just don't bother with that stuff, you mm-hmm. know, like,
yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and that comes a little bit to it. Like we get all swept up in the things and there's too many things. Mm-hmm. So you can't deal with all the things. You can just deal with this thing, mm-hmm. you know? So you make your best choice of what it is and then you go, you know? And I mean, like everybody, I've had lots of things where I wished I had done the other thing or I had done something mm-hmm. differently mm-hmm. along the way. But you that's a fruitless mm-hmm. occupation, you know, like looking back at stuff.
Mm-hmm. Regrets.
And then, so in any moment, you're faced with the same sort of choice. You're going to have a choice. You're going to do one thing and maybe it's not the thing you're going to wish you had done before, but mm-hmm. it doesn't matter because it's not the things. Mm-hmm. You continue on, you carry on, and you, as awareness, as consciousness, as even your individualness, you know, mm-hmm. like it's an interesting play in like the esoterica of Tantra, you know, it's like, it's just Brahman. It's just like the overarching consciousness of everything that's in everything. And so we are just that, mm-hmm. you know, I am that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, in any moment of this world play that we're in, we also are a person. We have our traits and we have the things we love and the things we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but there's a through line of that stuff from the beginning to the end.
And we can't see the whole story.
It's hard to like say, okay, now I'm going to be Brahman.
Right.
You know? Of course. But you can go as mm-hmm. close as you can toward that by just remembering back all the way to that, who am I at my essence? Podcasts have become one of my favorite ways to learn about things. I have a handful that I follow that I subscribe to. If you like Peter's podcast, please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. Peter's podcast just became available on Spotify, so if you listen to Spotify for music, you might also like to listen to me there. And the way that more and more people get to hear the podcast is it shows up highly in ratings, so if you like it also, please rate it. You can do that right on your phone. I have an iPhone, so I know it's like right there underneath the description. There's a place where you just click on a star and you can make a comment. And if you use some other OS, as they say in the tech world, you can check and see how you do it there. You can do it on iTunes, and it just helps other people appreciate what you're appreciating. Thanks a lot. We were talking a little bit about essence, like even in desires, like I want a, and you know, you were saying I wanted to have a car,
right.
But instead what you have is somebody lends you a car whenever mm-hmm. whenever they're out of town. And so you mm-hmm. do have a car.
Yeah.
So it didn't play out exactly the way you thought, but
right.
you got the essence of it.
Right. It's not the Mini Cooper that yeah. I had dreamed about 5 years ago.
Right.
That was my dream car. But
right.
but there's such value in that dreaming, too.
Yeah.
Because we need to let ourselves go there.
And well, yeah. We have this sort of programmed desire set. You know, mm-hmm. we desire things. Alan loves mm-hmm. cameras. He's always mm-hmm. after the newest lens and whatever, mm-hmm. you know?
And
speaking
once...
about cars, mm-hmm. like I've been living in the suburbs for 2.5 years. And we had brought a car with us from Brooklyn, and we immediately thought, oh, we should get a second car. And in my mind, I've wanted and let go of 3 different cars in the 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I already had those cars. Like, I realized yeah. that none of those cars is going to make me happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now we're moving out of the suburbs, and I don't need any car beyond the one we brought from Brooklyn.
Wow. Wow. And you stayed with that desire, and you really allowed the desire to mature and then show itself.
And then I realized that's nothing special. That car is nothing special.
And you got a motorcycle.
Well, I had the motorcycle.
Ah, wait, you had the motorcycle in Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. But it's such a great
story.
But
I'm selling my motorcycle, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
so if anybody wants to buy a motorcycle, yeah.
But what's interesting about the story is like,
it's been chanted over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so
no obstacles.
But the things that we think that we want at a certain time don't always become the things that we get. And it's not a failure.
Right. Or we get them like the motorcycle.
Right.
I wanted a motorcycle when I had a place in the country. Mm-hmm. Then we got rid of the place in the country and I got the motorcycle. And I barely used it.
Yeah. And then, and now you don't want it anymore. Yeah. And you got to have the motorcycle. Yeah. So many things.
Yeah.
Nous allons en France. Où? En France? Vraiment. Oui, nous allons en France. Venez avec nous. En France.
Who is that French guy?
Qui, moi?
We're going to France in August. Wendy Newton, Ulrika Norbury, and I are going to share our way, the yoga way, of creating meaningful living. Working and playing to set up the conditions for creative living, providing opportunities for creating art, or living life artfully. The French countryside, practice, conversation, bonfires. See peterfurco.com/France2018 for details. You don't want to miss this.
La 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 la.
So in politics and all these things that are driving us crazy, you know, we have to remember that we are set down in this circumstance to do the best we can do in that specific place that we are.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and if we get overwhelmed, so like that was the thing you're saying, like we need to pick one thing and that's the thing that we attend to. That's our, like what you're talking about.
Yeah,
with
don't
the
sweat the,
It's a battle. There's really, there's a real battle in our lives.
Right.
And we need to know what is the battle that I'm fighting.
Yeah.
Because I can't fight on 20 fronts. Yeah. I can fight on maybe two or three.
Yeah.
Maybe one.
I was watching this movie about the Trojan War. And it was fascinating because the movie paid a little bit extra attention to like the technology of war, like how do battles happen. One side had these fiery balls that would roll down a hill and they were very effective, and the Trojan horse itself is a technology, right? A stealth technology. So, but in the battle itself, one person is fighting one person at a time,
right?
Even though the whole battle will be determined by
the total average number.
Or whatever, and so there would be these moments when like Achilles would encounter Hector, and then suddenly like the people like made a space because they wanted to see how did this part of the battle go, right? But it was still just the one-on-one of that. It wasn't that suddenly everybody joined in. And in fact, the new movie Black Panther has the same action happen when the king is challenged. The new king is to be challenged before he can become the king. All of the people who are supporting, they're not allowed to get into the battle. They can just watch. It's just the one-on-one, you know? So it's interesting.
And there's a truth to that also about strategy, right? Like if you're so in the battle and you're fighting, you can't really see, you can't zoom out and see, oh, actually, there's an opening over here.
Right.
So that's part of why we
it's
need
this
to be
dual nature.
Able to move between.
Right. That's brilliant. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have to go to meditation to get the perspective. But when we're in the living, sometimes we are just in the living. We're just doing that thing 100%. That's it. You know, and that's where it can be tricky because we can get upset or we can get obsessed or we can get depressed and et cetera. And that's why it's important to have a practice that pulls you away, even if it's just for minutes a day, to pull you out of your normal day-to-day activities so you can get the perspective. And that in that, it's like an infusion of insight and an infusion of inspiration about processing what you just went through and what you're facing.
Yeah.
So I have to go teach yoga class.
All right.
Thanks so much for this little chat. We'll
Thank
have a longer
you.
One later.
Yes.
And we'll have a very long one in France.
Yes.
We're going to France.
Woohoo!
In August.
Normandy.
Normandy, France.
To beautiful fields and lakes.
With Wendy and Ulrika. And we're going to talk about how to bring this yoga stuff into your life in creative ways, how to make yoga not just a thing that one practices for fitness, but that it's a way, a literal way of living.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
All right. All right. Namaste.
Namaste.
I'd like to share a project one of my former students and Patreon patron alerted me to. It's a small crowdsourcing project to train yoga teachers to teach in Arabic in Palestine. Apparently, there are not a lot of teachers for this population that could really benefit from yoga. The link is in the show notes. They have a very modest goal, so please help out if it appeals to you. We're going to head on over to meditation class. If you'd like to do the practice, you might want to have a mat handy and a place to sit, some cushion or blankets, so that you can be nice and comfortable. All right? Enjoy. I've been talking a lot with people about so much going on in the world, so much going on in the news, and how do you handle it and everything like that. And add on to that, layer on to that, you know, the challenges of the Mercury retrograde and the challenges of personal relationships and all those kinds of challenges. And we have a lot to deal with. And the nature of our living is that we always have a lot to deal with, and we do the best we can with that. But the thing is that yoga provides for us some tools that allow us to deal with those challenges in a better way. And when I say yoga, I mean the eight limbs of yoga, which have asana as one of the eight limbs, and the final limbs have to do with meditation. So when I was thinking about this topic, I had a little story pop into my head, and the story reminded me about three different things. One was the power of intention, the power of what Yogananda used to call willpower, right? What we can make happen just through our intention around it. The second is the power of vibration, the power of making some kind of a shift in something, the fact that we are vibration and that our vibration has an impact. We're quite literally co-creating the universe. Yeah? We have a role in that. And then the third is the power of what I'll call love, or the power of recognizing an unconditional willingness to accept someone else or something else, right? Or even one's self, right? So those three things are sort of beautiful baseline conditions for having an experience in life that feels more graceful. And you know, that word grace is like got all kinds of religious connotations to it. And when we're talking about it here, we're talking about this sort of graceful, the way a dancer moves across the floor, right? The obstacles are not in the way. The obstacles are still there, but there's a capacity to simply move through them in a way that appears miraculous, right? So I told a little story on Thursday, so forgive me if you heard it before, but when I was younger, I went to Los Angeles because I was a musician. I was living on the East Coast. I was a musician. I was fresh out of college, and all I really cared about was playing music, but it was cold on the East Coast, and I had heard that it was warm on the West Coast. So, so I went out there to play music in Los Angeles, and what I hadn't heard was that of the 12 million people who live out there, 1 million of them were also trying to play music. So it was challenging to, you know, to make a living. So I ended up doing other things, and I had an affinity for working with computers and making spreadsheets and stuff like that, and I started consulting on that front, and I was doing some consulting for a landlord company. And I think we all know that landlords in general are very kind and generous. And that was my experience with this particular company. And I found that I was in the starving musician role as I was going. So I always needed to get paid as quickly as possible. And this company was very slow about that, you know. So it made me very angry at the guy who was holding the purse, yeah. And he was kind of the quintessential chief financial officer who was trying to make money for the company, you know. So at one point, you know, I was doing a lot of studying and reading and yoga and meditation and reading all of Yogananda stuff and reading books of New Age prosperity and all these kinds of things, you know, and so I came across this idea about love, you know, that love was like a thing that went out from you and, of course, comes back to you. And so I decided to try this philosophy out and just bombard this guy with loving feelings instead of the anger that I usually was feeling toward him. And so I sat down at this desk that I was temporarily working at, and I saw him walking by, and I was like, oh shit, he still isn't talking to me. And I said, I love you. I want you to have everything you need. I'm here for you. I hope everything works out for you. You know, just all this stuff. Like, I basically gave him what I wanted him to give me. And he just like turned around and came over and said, I owe you a check, don't I? And then he went off, got the check processed, and I had it that day. Which sounds miraculous, right? But it's not miraculous when you consider these three elements, this power of intention, this power of vibration, and the power of love, right? That's what was at play in this. The intention is, what are you doing with your mind? Right? So if you say with your mind, I suck, I can't do everything, I never get what I want, all these kinds of things, absolutely that's what's going to happen, right? But if you turn that around, then you start to create the circumstances for you to get the things that you're trying to do. You're starting to get toward what is your karma, to use the Sanskrit word. And that's such a weird word to use in English, because we think of it as kind of like an instant retribution by the cosmos, you know. But the karma is just literally your role in the world. What is it that you're confronting in the world? The challenges, the kinds of things that you're going to have to learn. And what we usually have to learn is that it's not the specifics of the stuff that makes the difference, right? It's the what do you do with it? What do you do with whatever's in front of you? And if you're doing it out of a place of lovingness, right? I love what is. I will appreciate this. I'll take this on. Then boom, you know, that's the best you can do. And that's all that's asked. And so you have this intention, which I did with this guy, right? The vibrational quality is the nature of what we are. So as I am interacting with him, we use this in colloquial language, right? You walk up to somebody, or somebody walks up to you, and you're going, what the hell, you know? Or somebody walks up to you, and you're like,
oh, this person seems so nice, right? It's a vibe, right? A vibration. So we're always working with that. So we do it. We're literally that. When physicists look at everything in the world, it's just energy, right? So we're just energy. Our mind makes this great story about how we're this stuff, right? Then the final thing is about this notion of what's going on today and how hard it is to get through stuff today, is that when we can see ourselves as part of the same stuff, the same whole thing, the universe in manifestation, right? Tantricas would say, we're Brahman, we're the whole, right? And then for the sake of experience, there's this division so that now we all seem separate from each other. So as we can see ourselves as separate from each other, which is easy to see, and whole, which is much harder to see, then we start to have perspective on life that lets you go, wait, this other person who I hated a minute ago, they're just a person. I'm just a person, they're just a person. They're doing the thing that in their mind they think is best based on their karma, right? Their circumstances, their lessons they had to learn, their challenges they had to face, the things that were easy for them, the things that were hard for them, and it brought them to this. So when we look at that, it's like we're actors in this weird karmic play, and now we're encountering, right? So what you do with that is going to be either you're going to reject it and say, no, there is only difference, or you can look at we're both different and we're the same. So where we are the same, that's a place we could meet, right? That's a place we could, you know, even in, I think, negotiation, it's like you look for the point that you can agree upon, and then you build from that, right? I don't know, I'm not a negotiator, but I think that's what they do, yeah? So when you see someone else who you know, are having a struggle with, in that, you know, when we say namaste, right, that we see the sameness in us, then it's like a shift occurs. And then you can start to go, wow, why are they having this reaction the way they are? And then not only are you then able to figure out a better strategy for how do you get around this challenge, but you also have compassion bloom, right? You have this unconditional love. Like, I can love that person. I can, and love is a also like, you know, rom-com kind of word, right? Says love, like I can accept them the way that they are, right? Even though I disagree with them, even though I might be working to get something other than what they want, right? So we have our intention is to be graceful in living, right? We send out the appropriate vibration, we get in the appropriate vibratory state to have unconditional acceptance of this person, and then this love is works miracles. So in today's practice, we're going to use a practice that I draw on constantly, and I teach it constantly. It's about getting the heart center into a state of appropriate vibration, that we're both okay ourselves and we're okay with what else there is, right? So we're okay with the other person, we can deal with what they're doing, we're okay with our circumstances that we find ourselves in, we're okay with ourselves. We're not in this constant thing of, you suck. No, I don't. You suck. Oh, I do suck, don't I? Yo, you do suck, right? We're not constantly in this inner bickering place, right? We come to a relationship of compassion for ourselves. as well as compassion for others, and okay with the circumstances. When that happens, then we're in the right vibration for our mind to stop feeling like it has to be different. It has to be changed. And when the mind calms down, then we have this natural ability to move through the thinking, the processing, the intellectualizing, and to go to awareness, to go to inspiration, to go to consciousness, Brahman, wholeness, from which anything is possible, right? So like Einstein studied, but he was the first to say, my ideas were inspiration, you know? They came to me, right? So we need to create the possibility, the openness, the vibratory state in which it's easy for us to go to that place. Right? So today we're going to use a practice called Satyam Kriya, Satyam Apajapa. It's got such a long name, I have to like think about it. Apajapa with Satyam Kriya and Anahata Vedana. All right? So Apajapa just means repeating something with intention. Okay? So with intention, we're going to repeat this mantra, Satyam, but with a visualization of energy at the heart center. Right? Inhaling, expanding outward, exhaling, focusing back inward. So that we're creating this vibratory balance that lets us have the right relationship with what's outside of us and with us. Okay? Satyam is a two-part mantra. Yam is literally the energy of this heart center. It's like its calling vibration, right? You go yam, and the heart center goes, yeah. So you've got yam online, and then you go sat. Sat means the way things really are, the truth about the situation, the pure fact of the matter, right? No fake news involved, right? This is it, right? So when we resonate that mantra, it's the opposite of saying, you suck. No, I don't, you suck, right? So, but say, this is the way it really is. And the heart center hears that, okay? So then once this is like, that's what you feel. You do this practice, and then you start to feel like, and maybe something will even come up. You know, I mean, it's like a place of emotional rebalancing. So you might have an emotion. But ultimately, there's a calmness that comes. When that calmness is there, then we're going to do a second kriya called kichari, where we'll draw our energy from the base through the heart center, because now the heart center is clear, up into the midbrain, which is the auspicious place for meditating. Right, for going to this other aspect of consciousness where the mind isn't so actively trying to solve things. And then we'll breathe in like the sound of AW, and we'll draw the energy up, and then when we get here, we'll use KEE and just let it radiate out. And in that, in doing that, there's all kinds of great energy stuff that's shifting. But if you want to intellectualize it a little bit, you're bringing the energy that you would usually use for survival, and you're allowing yourself to move past all of that and just to be in the energy of what is, the Brahman aspect, okay? So we use Brahmanadi to move back toward that created creation aspect of ourselves and just let go. Right. And from there, we'll sit. Who's new today? New class? Great. Cool. So this is a good one to start with. It's like right to the meat of the matter. And my thing is even still working. Great. So we'll bring it up, then we'll let go, then we'll sit for 18 minutes in silence. Okay? So in that 18 minutes of silence, you'll try to do nothing, not to engage with the stuff, right? Not to engage with things. And you'll have perhaps like a good time up there, but you might have also a little bit of challenge just sitting for that long, but it's okay. You know, you'll kind of drift in and out from moments where nothing's going on, the moments where your thoughts are coming up, and just let them go, right? It's like a little bit like training a puppy or something, yeah? You're just kind of like, get. You say, come back, okay. And then he smells something over there, and he goes, come back here, right? So then you just keep coming back, right? And in doing that, you have profound shifts in physiology, you have this mental shift that allows for inspiration. At the end of that 18 minutes, we'll bring the energy back down, energy center by energy center, which lets you take the inspiration and bring it back into life in a way that makes you graceful in living. It gives you this extra understanding that allows you to be in the moment, compassionate with the moment, so you can negotiate the moment, which looks like miracles. Okay. Yeah, sure. Remember? Sure. Yeah.
What do you call the add-on?
Kachari Kriya.
Kachari Kriya. Just a follow-up question to Benji. Are those,
it's good, I can have a drink.
Is that meditation something that you receive, or is it something that you put together personally? I mean, is that a standard combination, or is it something that you...
They're both the satyam. After you do satyam, you could just be here, or you could just be here, right? And using Kachari just brings it very strongly up. So I put it together, but I didn't make it up. Good question. It's not so much, well, it's, you're not using your nostrils because you're using your mouth, so it doesn't re-trigger like moving back out into the senses. These are all advanced teacher training questions. Yes. One more from Amelia.
So you're actually opening your mouth?
Yes, you're actually opening your mouth. So the thing is, when you do this, because this Kachari Kriya is a little more powerful. If you're today feeling a little bit fragile, or you're feeling a little wacky, spacey, anxious, anything like that, it would be better to stay a little more grounded, right? So we're going to use mudra, thank you. A mudra with your hand, you can do this now. Take the first two fingers, and not the tips, like what you would typically use the tips here, sitting. For this, you'll bring the pads of the thumb and the index finger together and set it right at the heart center. Okay. And when you do this, it's like a physical knock on the door, right? So we're coming to where that place is that you feel, I knew in my heart that was the right thing to do, right? In the heart. Right? So that's where we're going to go with this. So if you're feeling a little spacey, a little anxious, a little ungrounded, or say you decide, oh, I'm going to try that Kachari Kriya, and then you feel a little of those things, you can use this mudra and just hold yourself down, basically, right? Hold the energy a little less out. Okay. And did that answer your question? So then, inhale. Out.
With the mouth again.
Yeah.
All through your mouth.
All through the mouth. Yeah. It's like making sound, but like a whisper. Okay. This is good. We're getting all the details out. Thoroughly. Anything else? So like all the questions from the previous year. Yeah. Good. come to France, we'll answer even more questions on my retreat. Yeah.
Why 18 minutes?
18 minutes is a time that was passed down through the lineage of our teachers without a reason why. So we've been trying to like gin up a reason. See what's it about. And the number 18 is a significant numerological number. It's like a special number because it resolves to 9. The most common numerological number is 3. It's like creation, sustaining, destruction. It occurs through all different places in nature. So numerologically, you have 3 times 3 is 9. In the numerology, you add digits together, so 1 and 8 comes to 9. So that's one of the lines of thought around it. The other is that when you do a sleep study, you know, when scientists look at sleep, the deepest level of sleep is the delta rhythm. And if one gets 18 minutes of that, it's interesting coincidence that with 18 minutes of that sleep, you have a restful sleep. So perhaps that was intuited by the yogis of old. That's the best I can do on that one. I know. Okay, anything else? Let's start this darn thing. Okay, so we're going to do just a little bit of asana so that it's easy to sit. You feel a little bit not so stuck after listening to me gab. And then we'll do the practice. I'll lead us through everything that I just said. So come on all fours. Bring your fingers together for these premeditative asana rather than spreading them wide. On your inhale, curl your toes under, arch and open. On the exhale, take the tops of your feet to the floor and press away and round through your lower back. And then continue to move between those two poses. And in all of these premeditative asana, in addition to helping your body feel a little bit more limber, a little more opened up, a little more woken up, we're also going to start to try to move our awareness from us as physical to us as energy, okay, to that vibrational aspect of what we are. So we're focusing primarily on 3 lines of vibratory energy. 1 in our center, and right now we're moving that forward and back. 1 on our right side, and 1 on our left side. After our next inhale, on the exhale, send your seat back to your heels. Let your forehead come toward the mat. And as you breathe in, let's find that central line. Imagine you're inspiring, you're bringing in energy from the crown of your head, from the universe, to your base at the pelvic floor. When you breathe out, envision that energy as the energy that lights up, like plugging you in, lights you up. Right? So each inspiration is the drawing in of everything you might need to be. Each exhale is the powering of this holographic you, this vibratory you. Inhale to the upward part of cat. Exhale your seat back to your heels. And see if you can now layer those 2 things together. So the movement, inhale to the upward part of cat, inspire energy in crown to base. Exhale, seat back to your heels. That energy radiates through your system. And after the next time you get seat back to your heels, we're going to change that. Inhale up on your knees. Raise your arms up overhead. This is called Bali. Exhale, seat back to your heels, the child's pose or seal. Inhale through the upward part of cat and let your hips lower to cobra pose. You can bend your elbows if it's too much back there. Exhale, seat back to your heels. back to the child's pose. Inhale, Dolly. Exhale, child's pose or seal. Inhale, cobra. And exhale, seal. And then if it's not too much to keep track of, layer that. Inspiration. Radiate that through your system. Inhale, cobra, inspiration, crown to base. Exhale, radiate that through, back to the child's pose. Two more on your own. Bali, child's pose, cobra, child's pose. Next time you're in the child's pose, pause there. And so as part of this movement of energy, from being physical to being energy, I'd like you to start trying to feel yourself. And your feelings are energy. They're the energy of your mind, your sensations, your nervous system. And we have this sense, like a sixth sense, I can start to feel that, sense that. The next thing we're going to do to this line of energy in our center is turn it upside down, bring gravity into play in the opposite, to pull us away from the survival centers at our base toward that consciousness in our crown. You can do that using downward facing dog. That's the easiest way, probably. If it's rough in your wrists, you can do downward dog on your forearms. Or a headstand is a very powerful way to turn the line upside down. So if you have a headstand that you're confident of, you could use that. And then feel as you lower down, stay inward. So go ahead and make your way back down onto your knees. And if you need, you could sit on a block, although we'll just be here for a second. Sit upright and feel the shift when you sit upright. It's like a slingshot of energy when you flip back right side up. I'm going to do just a couple more things. So keep your focus inward, even though you're still being physical. Gently open your eyes. Sit over onto the right side of your feet. I always like to sit up on a blanket when I do this. You can sit on a blanket or a block. And then hook your right toes over your left ankle. If you don't understand what I'm saying, someone around you will have that. You could do that. Set your hand down where your feet are, and then raise your right arm up. Nice. Inhale, lengthen through this whole right side and lean over toward the side. So I said we're going to focus on three lines of energy. Now we're in the one that's on the right side of your body, like a column of energy on the right. And it relates to that aspect of you that's dealing with the world in a very straightforward way, organized, determined, structured, making things happen. What you might have heard called the solar versus the lunar, or the masculine versus the feminine. In Sanskrit, it's called Pingala Nadi. Yeah. inhale back up to center, lower that arm down, and then lean back and swing your legs around to the other side. Hook your left toes over your right ankle. Set your hand down on the side where your feet are. Raise your left arm up, inhale, lengthen, and exhale, arc over toward the right wall. Now activating that lunar side of us, the receptive, the integrative. Balancing the two sides of us helps us move away from what's outside to more easily come inward, not to be pulled out through the senses into the world. Inhale back upright, lower down. Swing your legs straight out in front of you for just a moment. Set your hands behind your back, sit up tall. If it's hard to sit up tall, if it either is hard in your back, you don't feel very strong at that, or it's hard because your hamstrings aren't letting you sit up tall, then you're gonna sit up on something. If your back isn't feeling very strong, you could sit against the wall when we go to meditate. So go ahead and come out of that and find yourself a comfortable seat. Ideally, your legs are gonna come straight out from your hips when you're in your seat. If they're more up, sit up on something, all right? You can sit on a bolster, you can sit on a blanket or two blankets. A block is probably gonna be not so comfortable. And then a blanket underneath your ankles will make it soft. Like after, you know, 18 to 30 minutes, the floor starts to feel hard even through the little mat. So during that 18 minutes time, I'm gonna pass by to do Shaktipat, which is just a non-invasive thing where it just helps bring your energy up. There's nothing you need to do, and there's nothing it will do, but you might hear me walking around. Okay. So to begin, let your hands relax open on your knees. Join your index finger and thumb on each hand, this time with the fingertips touching. Okay. And lean, if you're at the wall, you don't have to do this part, but lean a little bit forward if you're sitting, and lean a little bit back, because I want to make sure that you find your center. If you're at the wall, probably you found your center because the wall is straight. And then hone in on what feels like the center between forward and back, and just let yourself be there. You might need to adjust your hands where they are so that you can be comfortably in that seat. Then everybody can do this now. Lean a little to the right, and if you're against the wall, it could be just a little bit. And then lean a little bit to the left. And then continue to do that, to lean right and lean left, like you're swaying. And when you move to the right, envision yourself moving off into a golden light, like the sunlight in the afternoon in the summer. And when you lean left, envision yourself moving off into a cool blue moonlight, like the light of the full moon. Each time you sway, you're moving off, the light is shifting. And if it's hard for you to visualize that, you can just say it. I'm moving into gold, I'm moving into blue. And let your mind do whatever it wants with that. Your mind is very creative, so it will get the job done. Thank you. the gold and the blue light, there's a line that is neither, that is both. So slowly reduce the amount you're swaying, like a pendulum coming to rest. And you come to rest now in your own center. Take your right hand and bring the pads of the index finger and thumb together and set that at the heart center. And you can move around a little till it feels like it's at the right spot. It feels like it's in front of where I felt in my heart something. It might even feel like where I am. And then behind that spot where your fingers are, in the center, along that center line we were using earlier, envision a glow, prana, energy. When you breathe in, envision that energy expanding outward. And when you breathe out, let it focus back inward. And then with each pulse of breath, expand the light, and draw it back in. When the light is expanding as you breathe in, silently resonate sat. And when you breathe out, yam, as you move into the heart center. Sat, inhale, yam, on the exhale. First, you might breathe intentionally so that you can get the sense of the expanding and the refocusing in. But eventually, allow your breath to go on its own and allow it to have whatever adjustments it makes. As your mind starts to shift, your breath will correspondingly start to change. So allow that, not trying to breathe in any particular way. And if you have a good sense of where this heart center is, you can let your hands relax down. If it feels really nice to have your fingers there, you can just keep the mudra. In and the energy expands. Reach outward as you breathe in, as you breathe out, and the energy comes in. You're you. Together they are the whole. Having created this balance, allow yourself to refocus back into the heart center. And again, you can keep your fingers in a Hankara Mudra there or not. And you can stay with your focus in the heart center, especially if you're feeling anxious or nervous. Otherwise, we're going to do the Kachari Kriya, the ah key, but you don't have to do that to bring the focus up into the midbrain either. You can simply go there. If you're going to do that, on your next inhale, open the mouth, draw energy up the center line to the midbrain, and then let it just radiate out. And that can be enough, or you can do it up to two more times. Inhaling, and it can be very soft but long. Surrender in the new brain and let go the way you let go to sleep. Let your face go soft, let your jaw relax. If your mind becomes so distracted that it's hard to focus, ring the sound mang like a gong. Ma, then let go again. Try to find some time of silence, of doing nothing. I'm going to be quiet now for the 18 minutes. meditative place, to bring this intelligence, this wisdom, this inspirational energy back into our living. We'll use a practice of attention, intention, and mantra vibration. Start by bringing the tip of your tongue to the roof of your mouth. Bring your palms together in front of the heart center. And as soon as your hands come together, your mind will come out into the sensory world where touching, feeling, go back to your meditation and sense this touching as energy. Move the tongue behind the upper teeth at the gum line. It creates a circuit, a line of energy right to your palms. Move your palms just a little bit and feel the tingling of the touch, the energy there. And then separate your palms just a little bit and see if you can still feel the energy. It'll feel more like heat, warmth, or even a sense of a radiance. Move your hands even further apart and back toward each other, and you may feel it more like a magnetism, a puffiness that you can compress and then pull apart. Whatever sensation you have of the energy is not important, but it's just interesting. Go ahead and take your hands up over your eyes and direct that energy through the eyes into the midbrain, which is called in Sanskrit Ajna Chakra. And it's our headquarters for decision making, for that kind of thinking where we use wisdom and insight. So to help foster that insight, we'll use the vibration Om Namah Shivaya to tune to that wisdom coming out into our living. So you can either chant along or just let the vibration resonate you. We'll do that four times. Take a breath in. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya. Bring your hands back over your eyes, if they're not, and then draw them down toward the throat center. But before you get all the way down there, when you get to your jaw, go around the jaw to the back of your neck just to release out your neck muscles a little. And then come back around to the throat in front and cross your hands so both palms are facing your throat. And sending the energy in now into the throat center, which is clearly responsible for communicating, but that means to understand when someone's saying something or the way the world is sending stuff to you and how you express, what you respond. The mantra to help make sure this is full of wisdom, Om Aim Saraswatye Namaha.
Om Aim Saraswatye Namaha. Om Aim Saraswatye Namaha. Om Aim Saraswatye Namaha.
Draw the energy down to the heart center, the focus of our practice today, and to let that wisdom flow into the heart center as this, what you need to have unconditional love and compassion toward yourself, toward others, and toward your circumstances. Let your palms come together in front of the heart center. The mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya.
Om Namo Narayanaya. Om Namo Narayanaya. Om Namo Narayanaya. Om Namo Narayanaya.
Heart center, draw the energy down to the navel. Here we have sending the energy into us more into the physical realm, starting to get very much into our ground, into our earth. And here we'll send the energy into us at the cellular level so that we're functioning metabolically at our optimum. Let your right palm face down, your left palm face up, clasp your hands, and pull the heels of your hands against your navel. You can peek if you don't know what I'm saying. The mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Navel center, draw the energy down to the pelvis. Send the energy in here to this headquarters of your self, the self that's your personality, made up and governed by habits and patterns and desires and likes and dislikes. Bring wisdom in here now so that you see things clearly and you're not just stuck looping through your habits and your patterns. The mantra, Om Dum 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 Durgaye Namaha.
Om Dum 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 Durgaye Namaha. Om Dum 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 Durgaye Namaha. Om Dum 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 Durgaye Namaha.
Point your fingertips right onto the pubic bone. Let your thumbs touch at the top so you've made a triangle with your fingers that's directed right at the pelvic floor. And send the energy, the wisdom of your meditation here to bring structure into your finances, into your family, into your work, so that you have stability and prosperity. The mantra, Om Lakshmi Vam Shri Kamaladaram Swaha.
Om Lakshmi Vam Shri Kamaladaram Swaha. Om Lakshmi Vam Shri Kamaladaram Swaha. Om Lakshmi Vam Shri Kamaladaram Swaha.
Wrap your index finger and thumb at the crease line between thigh and torso and root yourself, ground yourself. And our final mantra to ensure that this wisdom flows into us, that there are no obstacles, so that you can move gracefully, miraculously through your living. The mantra, Om Gam 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 Ganapataye Namaha.
Om Gam 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 Ganapataye Namaha. Om Gam 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 Ganapataye Namaha. Om Gam 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 Ganapataye Namaha.
Then massage energy into your legs from hip to knee, regrounding, getting back in your body. Massage around your knee joints, up and down your shins. Go behind the leg from the knee with your thumb, right down the center of your calf, might be a little tender, that's okay, all the way to your Achilles tendon, and then grab your ankles tight. Hold on there and get your attention down into your ankles. Then walk five lines down the soles of your feet, one from your heel to your big toe, then move in a little on your heel and walk to the second toe. And the third toe, so on. So you have five lines down the soles of your feet, rerouting your energy right into the soles of your feet. Then extend your legs, release your ankles. If your legs are asleep, you can do downward dog and pedal them out. That should bring the blood back in. And then for 1 minute, lie back onto your back into Shavasana to let your body rest after sitting one way for so long. Just let your muscles release into the earth. That release will be most efficient if you set your hips right, so adjust them so your legs feel easy, relaxing outward. if there's a little dip in your lumbar spine in the lower back, and adjust your shoulder blades in toward each other underneath you so your chest is nice and open, your breath is easy. And then balance your head. If you have a ponytail, loosen it a little so it can be nice and neutral on the floor. And you just let the earth do all the work of supporting. With your heart balanced and your life full of inspiration, begin to make your way back to your Saturday morning. Move your fingers and your toes, run your thumbs across your fingertips, turn your head a little side to side. On a nice big breath, raise your arms up overhead behind you and reach long through your right side from your fingers out to your toes. Through your left side from your fingers out to your toes. Hug your knees in towards your chest, wrap your hands around your shins, release your back a little. And then set your feet flat on the floor, hip distance apart, pull your feet up underneath your knees, and push down, lift your hips up high, making a bow, an arch of the bridge up into the sky. Take your arms underneath you, press down into the floor and open your chest. Moving your spine line, that energy of your center, a little bit forward toward activity, waking up. Yeah. Then come up on the balls of your feet, lower down vertebra by vertebra to the mat. Hug your knees back in and then rock all the way up to sitting. Make a fist with your right hand and place it just below your navel. Take the left on top of the right. And press in a little there as you tilt a tiny bit forward in your hips. And from where you're pressing in, down through the pelvic floor, root yourself into the earth. And when you next breathe in, imagine that inspiration coming in, bringing everything you need. And when you breathe out, from where you're pressing in, radiate that through your whole system, full of wisdom, energy, insight. All that you need to move gracefully through your living. Come back upright, bring your palms together in front of your heart. Hari Om Om Tat Sat. There's that word Sat again, that you see Sat, what really is in every moment of life. Have a lovely day. Namaste.
Namaste.
You're welcome.
That's my episode for today. I hope you've enjoyed it. Leave comments on Simplecast or on Patreon. Sign up on Patreon. Become a subscriber, a patron of the podcast. Rate the podcast. Wendy and I are going to Helsinki, Finland to teach a teacher training this summer, which is going to be really a blast. I've already mentioned the France retreat, which I'll mention again. We're doing a France retreat. It's going to be so cool. Come and do it. Also, I've started to make separate bonus episodes of the podcast where I'm reading to you from my novel, Incarnation, which has a yoga theme. So there'll be one following this particular podcast in your feed. Hope you enjoy it. Have a wonderful week. Namaste. La, la, la.